podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Are parachute payments unfair?
The Fantasy Football Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. James shaking his head because...
Because this is probably not going to go out in the morning.
No, but I want people to know the graft we're putting in by getting up early to record our podcast.
For those on the... Yes, first of five recordings for us today, but that's another story. For those on the other side of the world, good morning.
Yeah, depending on who, what, why, where, when you are. It's morning for us, bright and early, James. And today, as part of EFL week, talking about the monies again, the monies.
We do love a money conversation, yeah. Don't we? We can't help it.
Well, football's so heavily dominated by it in so many ways. And today we're talking about parachute payments.
Isn't that such an awful thing to say?
Yeah, man. I mean,
that football is so dominated by money, but unfortunately it's a fucking harsh reality, I'm afraid.
It is. And parachute payments is the topic of today's conversation, discussion, and what have you. It's been it's becoming more and more of a thing in the last kind of 18 months. I think with everything that happened with COVID and revenues getting messed around for a lot of clubs, and then the likes of Rick Parry saying, scrap them, get rid of them, and more people thinking, get rid of them. And then you see a situation last year where two out of the three clubs that went down came straight back up. Quite often clubs that go down do come back up, if not within 1 year, kind of 2 years or 3 years. And so people are like, well... It's a bit unfair, really, isn't it?
I mean, Rick Parry calls them evil.
Yep.
At least he's running the EFL, right? So, kind of gives you an indication of where you're at. Parachute payments are a difficult topic to cover, to kind of find the median of actually where people are happy and unhappy with it. Most people are generally unhappy. But there's obviously a lot of clubs who do benefit from them. And these clubs are those who we regularly see coming in and out of the Premier League. I mean, to use an example at the moment, Norwich City. Mm-hmm. Up, down, up again. Could go down again, could come up again. I think that's the scary bit for people. It's not so much the two out of three teams coming back up. Because let's not pretend that that's something that never happened before parachute payments come around, because it has happened before. I think the scary bit is the Norwich and Fulham, those kind of clubs, are they just going to keep going up, down, and they never play each other because they're never in the same division. They're just crossing over with each other. Norwich go down, Fulham come up, and vice versa. Might be the same with West Brom, for example. That's the scary bit, where you might be coming towards a point where you're looking at a cutoff of sort of, it's almost worth saying you've got a league of, say, 12 teams in the Premier League who are not going to get relegated. And then you've got another league of about 16 teams.
Come and go.
Between the Premier League and the Championship, come and go. And every now and then you get a nice story like a Brentford.
Yep.
Who pushed through, who obviously never had the benefits of parachute payments. So there's the argument against, right? Brentford should have gone up the year before. They went up this year. They haven't had parachute payments. They're not a big size football club. They don't have the support backing of a Leeds United, for example, and yet have found their way through. So a lot of this talk kind of came about, particularly sort of April, May time. It was really in the focus again because it became clear that Norwich and Watford were going to come back up. And Bournemouth were on a phenomenal run in the heading into the playoffs at the time. I think they'd won about seven in a row at one stage. And you thought, excuse me, they're probably going to win the playoffs. And then that would have been, oh, wow. I mean, as it is, we're going into the Premier League season this year with 19 of the same teams that we had in the Premier League two seasons ago. You just swap Leeds United for Bournemouth. And you can make the case there that the Premier League is now, in terms of quality and power, because it's Leeds, is even stronger than it was 2 years ago. That's the big fear, that we've just got a group of clubs that are just going to keep yo-yoing.
Yeah, I understand that. I think a few things that were in my mind when I was looking at it was in terms of when clubs get relegated, quite often you see them losing a lot of their best players. This season, I didn't feel like that massively happened necessarily. I mean, Watford, I don't feel like Watford had a lot of players that were in demand at a lot of other clubs, but the likes of Will Hughes and what have you, they held on to. Bournemouth lost Callum Wilson, which was inevitable. He was Premier League striker. Ryan Fraser was out of contract anyway. But the likes of Josh King only left in the January transfer window. Dan Juma, Solanke, all these, a lot of other good players at Bournemouth that could have been picked up weren't. Ishmael Assar at Watford stayed.
That's interesting you say that, because actually in comparison, say Bournemouth, Watford, Norwich, so Watford held on to the likes of
Ishmael Assar.
Norwich, obviously he's left now, but held on to like Emi Buendia, obviously Timu Pukki. Bournemouth lost Wilson, Nathan Aki and Aaron Ramsdale. Yeah. £80 million worth of players, right?
That's a fair amount. I mean, Aki going to Man City is a really bizarre one. Wilson was going to go to the Premier League anyway. They still held on to other players that could have gone. But I feel like, had there been no parachute payments, all three of these clubs would have had to sell more players and get gutted out. So
I'm not sure that's the case in Bournemouth's situation. Yeah, that, and that's a prime example. Bournemouth made £80 million from selling three players.
Mm.
Did they need the 40-odd million parachute payment as well?
That would have to, and then their owners pretty
£80 million
pretty
pounds
well.
Selling three players.
Yeah.
So, did they need it?
Did what would you, the net receipts for Watford and Norwich, I'm assuming, going to be much less?
Oh, I've not looked into it, to be honest. I mean, Norwich, no. Not obviously, Lewis went to Newcastle and someone else went as well, forgive me. Watford, not so many, I don't think, from memory.
Craig Dawson?
Yeah, but one of the things, obviously, the parachute payment allows is you can keep a lot of the squad.
This is the thing, right?
Because the main design of parachute payments is to aid the transition of Premier League wages to Championship wages.
Mm-hmm.
One of the arguments against these, one of the things it would be hoped that if you abolish parachute payments would bring in, is the idea that Premier League clubs had mandatory, every club, even at the top, if Liverpool, United, City, whatever, had a disaster, they're all written in that they have relegation clauses in their contract. So if say City's shit with the Premier League, I mean, City's a strange case because obviously they've got so much money in the background, it wouldn't matter. But say City got hit with a 30-point deduction in this investigation that's currently ongoing with the Premier League. Extremely unlikely, by the way. But let's just say they did and they got relegated. 30 points probably wouldn't be enough, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. But then, a 60-point deduction.
They'd still finish on 55, 60 points. But obviously, suddenly, if that did happen and they're walking into the Championship with Kevin De Bruyne, et cetera, et cetera, they'd obviously take a hit in their wages. Now, on City's wages, it wouldn't be enough. Would you say on a City player, okay, you got a 50% wage deduction if you drop into the Championship, you still have players well on over $100,000 a week.
True.
And in the case of Manchester City, they would obviously have so many assets that are obviously sellable as well. Would they need a 40? Would Manchester City, if they got relegated, need a £40 million parachute payment? No,
that's
they
unbelievable.
Wouldn't. They wouldn't.
Yeah. Alongside that messaging around relegation clauses, what the parachute payments are saying is, if you come up to the Premier League, you can roll the dice and have a gamble, because if you don't, you can fall away. And we'll talk about any changes that need to be made to the parachute payment system maybe in a bit, because the Premier League dictate what happens with parachute payments. I mean, it's the Premier League clubs that decide, and it's almost like an insurance policy that you kind of have set up amongst yourselves. Don't worry, we'll look after each other if one of us goes down. But when we talk a little bit about perhaps how it could be changed, we can look at that. I think there'll be a lot of listeners, James, who will have no idea how much money clubs get if they get relegated. And then also in the context of, I'll talk about the context of how much money other clubs do get.
So a little bit of a brief history. And it kind of goes back to 1992 with obviously the Premier League breakaway, the formation of the Premier League. Because originally the top division, what is now the Premier League, was part of the other three divisions, the Football League. There was divisions 1, 2, 3, 4. The Premier League broke away. And one of the reasons the Premier League obviously broke away was so they could have their own TV money. What used to happen was the UK prize pot of TV money was distributed so that 50% was shared amongst Premier League clubs, 25% went to Championship clubs, and the other 25% was shared between what is now obviously League One and League Two. In 2006-07, parachute payments were introduced for two seasons, meaning that the clubs who dropped in would still get their kind of basic TV money that they would have had if they'd remained in the Premier League again. That kind of came about off incidents like Leeds United, who obviously chased the dream, not just the chasing. We talk about teams chasing the Premier League dream of actually being there. Leeds chased the winning the Premier League and the Champions League dream, right? By throwing money at wages massively. And that kind of spiraled and they went into administration. So that was a very highlighted case. There's been others who were near misses where this got introduced to make sure that there wasn't a case where a Leeds United would fall away. Now, a few years after this obviously got introduced, we went through a similar thing with Portsmouth, who were deducted X amount of points while they were still in the Premier League, actually went into administration while still a Premier League football club, and obviously then fell down the divisions trying to make their way back. Now the way it works is if you spent more than one season in the Premier League when you've been relegated, you get three payments, and that payment comes down a little bit each year. Mm-hmm. If you've only been in the Premier League for one season, so in the case of Fulham, who were up for 1 year and gone back down, you'd only get 2 years worth of payments. If during the years where you're getting paid, you come back up, there are no payments. Payments are stopped. So I'll give you an example. Let's look at a couple of teams where they've had three payments in a row. So Sunderland and Middlesbrough were both relegated in 2016-2017. In the first year, they were paid what is a projected £41.6 million each. In year two, they were paid £34.9 million each. And in year three, Sunderland were paid £15.5 million. Middlesbrough were paid nothing. And the reason Middlesbrough were paid nothing is because they came up 1 year and went back down.
Exactly.
So in the case of Sunderland, now Sunderland had been in the Premier League, when I say they got promoted in 2006, it obviously been in the Premier League for 10 years or so. But they were paid over the course of rolling, coming down, three-year period, you're looking at around about £90 million. Now, what's currently being paid is a little bit unknown. And it's a reason for that is because of what's happened with COVID and stuff, that the numbers have altered a little bit. We probably will find out in the next couple of months or so. But it's reasonable to probably suggest that over the three-year period, it's at least that.
Yeah, I think
£90 million or so.
45, 35, 20. I think that's a reasonable assessment of what people will be getting for the 3 years, had they been in the Premier League for,
which is obviously 100 million now.
Yeah, give or take. Which I think is a fair assessment of what people will be getting in parachute payments. Now, the Premier League will argue the case that they're the most generous league in the world, breakaway league, because they give so much money away to the lower leagues and their fantastic benefactors. I think the total figure that the Premier League will stunt that they give away is 500 million a season in solidarity payments and all the rest of that kind of jazz. But if you did the maths, half of that money, James, will go to
payments.
Between nine clubs at the most. I mean, it's never quite going to be nine clubs and so on and so on. Because one may come back up, one might not have been up there for 2 years or what have you, but half the money going to nine clubs. And so to give a context of a Championship club, for example, the other Championship clubs, they say, get on average £4.5 to £5 million.
That's a solidarity payment.
Yeah. So what you're saying is Club A, who has just been relegated, is getting £45 million, and Club B, who's side by side, is getting £5 million. So the difference of £40 million in the Championship is
one season, by the way, because they're getting that advantage again over.
Of course, is huge. Right, £40 million is no joke in terms of difference four championship clubs, which is why we come back to this idea that, do you know what? They're not helping the league overall. They're just helping a small portion of clubs yo-yo.
But the interesting thing is the two clubs that I used in the analysis, they ain't come back.
No, that's right.
So it doesn't happen to everybody.
I think Sunderland's
were in the Premier League for 10 years and haven't come back. I mean, it went down to League One. It didn't stop. That's one of the arguments as well. Oh, it's unfair in the Championship. It didn't actually stop Sunderland falling down the divisions. It went into League One. They're still in League One. And they had parachute payments during this period.
That's mismanagement at club ownership.
Well, yeah,
level.
Badly.
And you can't kind of, you can't predict that, not predict that, but kind of, you know, make considerations for that. If you've got bad owners, you've got bad owners. Parachute payments or not, Sunderland were going to get screwed over, so which they did. So you've got to assume now the majority of time, a lot of owners are getting better. Generally at football clubs, I think owners are getting better at managing money and what have you.
Are they?
I think so. But just a little bit more context for the listeners in terms of numbers. So if we're saying a championship club is getting £4.5 million in solidarity payments, the drop-off to League One and League Two is even starker. I mean, you're talking 650 to 700,000 maybe at League One. So that's 12-15% of what these guys are getting. And then not even 1 week of Harry Kane's wages for a League Two club.
Subject to who he's playing for.
Couple hundred thousand. So now you're talking about a championship club who's just been relegating 45 million and 200,000 for a League Two club. Of course, different stratospheres of football, different wage bills and so on. But the issue then becomes one of income inequality and fairness and that kind of thing, right?
There is also a parachute payment deployed below the championship as well. So that's operated. It's not just the Premier League thing. This is operated by the EFL as well. To give you some numbers, clubs relegated from the championship receive 11% of their basic award payment the following year in League One. It's 12.6% if you're relegated from League One to League Two. And if you're relegated from League Two to non-league, you receive 100% of your basic award money from the previous season, the next season, and then 50% the year after. So it's not just a Premier League to Championship thing. Obviously, the eye-watering sums of money are obviously very different the further down you go, as you've just highlighted. But it's through the pyramid. Mm-hmm. Parachute payments exist through the football pyramid in this country and have for a while. And it kind of depends where you sit. I mean, to quote two people, Kieran Maguire from The Price of Football, we mentioned on the Derby podcast on Monday, his opinion is that it's probably an unavoidable necessity that parachute payments are kept. And Matt Slater wrote a brilliant article in The Athletic in May where he doesn't call them parachute payments. He calls them rocket boosters. Mm-hmm. And the idea, if you listen to Richard Masters, who's now in charge of the Premier League, and this is where I think it adds a little bit of scope, there is a debate to be had. It's not parachute payments are not actually about helping teams now survive in the Championship. It's about helping the competitiveness of the Premier League when they get there. And that's for whether you've had the payments or not. So in the case of Brentford, who haven't spent lavishly yet, but there's over a month of the transfer window to go, the idea behind it is you're going to get £100 million basically just simply by being in the Premier League, even if you finish 20th. You can come up and you can have a stab at paying people higher wages, higher transfer fees, higher signing on fees, because you know in the worst case scenario, you got that £40 insurance to cover you a little bit next season.
I get that.
And that's dangerous.
I think there's a few shrewd clubs, though, that are like, we're going to come up, not spend big, and pocket the money, thank you very much, and rebuild a little bit, which I think the likes of Norwich and what have you have done. You don't see them splashing out crazy now. A lot of clubs that come up don't go crazy and buy headline strike
players. Well, the case of Norwich is really interesting because this is obviously they've been up, down and up again. And the same similar might be happening with Fulham, where probably most of us expect them to go down again. And if they do and we're sitting here next summer, what are we expecting of them? Probably to come up again.
Yeah.
Because they've got the advantage, no doubt about it. And if Norwich are being cautious with their money, which we've seen when they've come up in the past, they have been, all the noises are they are going to be again, and being realistic about it. If they're constantly putting this money away and being sensible about it, eventually they will be in a position where they'll come up and they'll stay and they'll stick around for 10, 15 years. If they're clever about it.
Yep.
But it probably needs about another 2-3 times to go up and down.
And the issue with, again, the whole parachute payments is there's no means testing. West Ham been relegated previously. I would have said, like us or Newcastle or those kind of clubs, do we need parachute payments? We're big enough and we'll be big enough in the Championship that we would get back up, and we don't need the financial assistance from the Premier League. You've got smaller clubs.
You went down with what? The Icelander, didn't you? Magnussen.
Oh, well, yeah. But then that's...
You were in trouble at the time, mate. You did need
stupid owners category that kind of situation falls into. Whereas you've got small clubs that come up, smaller clubs that genuinely do need it. So I think there's no means... The fact that there's no means testing and it's not pegged to anything in terms of salary, wage bill or anything like that makes it a little bit... more of a bitter pill for some clubs to swallow.
I don't think we're going to get rid of this. But it feels like my heart is always in the let the football pitch happen. But it's also a little bit mixed with, I know, say in the case of Sunderland, if they'd have not had those parachute payments coming in the last 3 years, probably wouldn't be in League One right now. They'd probably be in League Two. And I don't know what state they'd be in at that point. Now, you don't want... We've had the Bury case, and to compare Bury and a Sunderland is really difficult, but no one wants that. No one wants the football club to be in risk of going out of business or anything like that. And again, that it was kind of introduced to protect the football clubs. But now, I just feel like it's an advantage. It's an advantage for those getting relegated. And it's also an advantage, as I said, and I think it's a really important point, it's an advantage for those getting promoted to the Premier League to know that they can not necessarily behave like Norwich. They can chase and throw money. I mean, not last time, but when Fulham come up the time before, what did they spend? 80 million or something?
And to be fair, Aston Villa last year, they bought a number of players. They maybe didn't go and buy...
Well, they had a lot of loans last year. The last 12 months is really difficult to look at, like sensibly, because of COVID and stuff, from a financial perspective and how people behaved. And that's also why we shouldn't read too much into last year, specifically Norwich, Watford, Bournemouth, because for those competing in a Championship was really tough last year as right. There was a lot of just, okay, we need to get through this as a priority. So I don't think we can read too much into the last 12 months or so. The argument, of course, is to go back to wages. What do we do about enforcing contracts? But my belief is, and I'm not proven in terms of understanding and what's going on at every football club, but I'd be pretty amazed if the majority of Premier League contracts at clubs of teams that know there's a possibility could get relegated don't have wage clauses inserted if they get relegated.
Player power. We're in a situation where a lot of the better players are in demand and they won't sign contracts with relegation clauses. Some will, some won't, but I think you'd be surprised. A lot of players will say, no, I'm not signing that if you're going to put that clause in. And that is an issue.
Didn't you have Jared Bowen joined you? I feel like this is one where he didn't want to sign that, did he?
Correct. And in the end, you kind of think, oh, well, sign, sod it. If you want the player, we'll just have to take a risk on it. And he's probably not on ridiculous wages. He's probably on a good salary, but maybe if he's on more than 50,000 a week, I'd be surprised.
Do you think, so there's a good case example, do you think going back to when West Ham bought Hull, bought Jared Bowen from Hull?
Bought a Hull football club.
I'm going to get in trouble with you, you probably could. When you bought Jared Bowen, do you think that transfer would have gone through if parachute payments didn't exist? Because obviously at the time, you were in a relegation fight, mate.
Probably.
You think he still would have done it?
Probably, because it wasn't a lot of money.
Back to stupid owners?
A little bit, but I think it. Look, we needed to get some bodies in for sure to try and stave off relegation. And I think at his price, they would have taken the gamble that, you know what, it's not too much money. If we need to offload him again, we probably get our money back for what we have paid for him. So we'd take a gamble. Had he been £10 million more, if we were talking 30, not 20s, let's say, I think then we would have thought twice and it wouldn't have happened.
Reported salary, I just did a Google, and it doesn't mean it's 100% accurate, but it probably gives a reasonable estimate. 60 grand a week.
Okay, too far off.
See, I don't think in that case, you're not buying that player, mate.
60,000 a week, 3 million a year.
So it's back to the competitiveness of the Premier League again. You bought the player while he was in the Premier League, not while you were pushing for promotion.
True.
So are parachute payments about making the Premier League stronger or helping teams? Because that's the way I think it's leaning now. It's about making the Premier League stronger.
And you can understand why the Premier League would want to protect that. One of the things that would need to happen for Premier League, for the parachute payments to change is 14 out of the 20 Premier League clubs would have to vote for a change in the system. Why would you? If you're a West Ham, Palace, Newcastle, I'd chuck anyone who is not in that top 12 that's going to be safe year in, year out. We might be edging towards that now, but anyone below that, your Burnleys of the world and what have you, why would you want to change to a system that's going to affect you like that? You're never going to get 14 votes to change it. You're never going to get it.
And that's why the only way you'd actually change this is by the Premier League implementing a change in terms of perhaps the amount of money that's given, i.e. they massively reduce it, which that's a Premier League power, I believe. But in terms of actually abolishing...
From a PR point of view, Premier League reducing...
It's not going to go well.
It isn't going to go well at all.
I mean, the payments are only likely to go up rather than down. But that's it. People say, oh, you have to get rid of parachute payments. It's the Premier League clubs. And actually, the irony of this is not the big six, the other 14, the ones that would actually possibly, and it's not all 14, but you're right, 8, 7 of them or so, are never going to pass it off where you're going to get to 14 Premier League clubs who say, yeah, abolish parachute payments because they themselves would like the safety net of the £40 million should they get relegated. Mm. There are more clubs that can get relegated than win a Premier League. That's the reality. Unfortunately, is modern football of what we're living in. So unless the Premier League clubs all got together and it was part of football reforms or something, to actually make it happen. And I know particularly in the lower levels, there's a lot of clubs. I'd chat out one of our patrons, Dave Brain, who chatted me out about a Bristol Rovers podcast that I listened to last night. It's a coalition of kind of about 10, 12 clubs, small clubs generally, who have kind of banded together and they're kind of trying to be a part of the talks about reforming football and how money is evenly distributed and stuff. But it's still the top end that's going to decide. Ironically, go back to Project Big Picture, and just about the only good thing that was in that manifesto was about how the big six wanted to distribute money to the lower leagues. I think it was 25% of some sort of income or something, which I think is what some of these clubs in this were banded together. I forget what it's called now. But that's kind of the sort of sum they're looking at. And so it was actually the big six that were saying we look after it. The one thing to remember, as we always pointed out at the time when Project Big Picture came round, was these fuckers can change the rules.
They can.
Immediately and say, oh, no, actually, we're not doing that anymore. And it would just be them that decided.
Yeah, I think the thing with that is I'd always be fearful that the big six would want to sign their own TV deals and break away and have their own TV rights deals on their matches. I wouldn't surprise me if that eventually happened, you know. So,
well, one of their annoyances, and again, to come back in terms of, because TV money does affect what's happening with parachute payments and stuff. Obviously, 50% is evenly distributed amongst all Premier League clubs, mainly the overseas money. And then there's proportion on where you finish in the league, which you still get a ridiculous amount if you finish 20th, right? And then it's shared. The UK TV money, you get the more you're shown on Sky, BT, then the more you make. but there's not a huge amount in it between first and 20th. And obviously, of course, the bigger clubs in the Premier League absolutely detest that, don't they? Because Manchester United don't think the value of the overseas contract's got anything to do with Brentford, right?
No.
And from their point of view, when you actually break it down and be cold about it, they're right.
Do you think the discrepancy between the smallest and largest clubs in the Championship is bigger than the size difference in clubs in the Premier League?
That's a great question. The thing is, there are some clubs, if you take like Wycombe Wanderers as an example last year, obviously that was the first time they'd ever got to the Championship. I guess Brentford did very briefly, I think in the 40s end of the top division. But then how do you weight Norwich against Wickham to Manchester City against Brentford? When I say that out loud, the gap between Manchester City and Brentford feels a lot bigger than Norwich to Wickham. I think you take a case like Barnsley last year, who were exceptional in the Championship, not one of the bigger clubs at that level. Actually, if you get it right on the football pitch, you can very nearly get promoted and find yourself in the Premier League. Brentford have obviously been working under their model for years and years and years.
Yep.
And have got to the point as a they're a small football club, not bullshit. Our man Tom, FPL dummy Tom, our new Brentford correspondent, he's like, yeah, get in touch. I'll get you tickets for Brentford. Man of DMs he's going to get now, right? I would say the difference between a Manchester City and a Brentford and a Norwich and Wickham still feels bigger in the Premier League, to be honest.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting to think about how we close the gap. I'm all for socialism, mate, to be honest with you. A little bit more socialism. Just a little bit more equality. I still believe some will be more equal than others, but a little bit more equality would help.
I saw your socialism on Saturday night, mate.
Now, I honestly genuinely think that trickle-down economics is what the Premier League clubs would try and say, look, as long as we still keep drip-feeding some money down, what's the problem is not looking at the actual impact of everything.
Are parachute payments unfair?
Yes.
And if so, on who?
But unfair and is not a yes-no scale. It's not a yes-no scale. I think that... So what I'm saying here is, if I get my words out, is that I don't think parachute payments are unfair. I think the way they're structured right now is probably a little bit unfair. If there was a little less in the pot for parachute payments and a little more in the pot for the rest of the league, I don't think we'd be having the same discussion. And we're not talking a lot. So are parachute payments unfair? No. But the numbers that we're talking about, maybe a little bit.
I think, again, I wouldn't look too much into what's happened over the last 12 years. We have to remember that for every yo-yo Norwich, there are the Sunderlands and the Middlesbroughs and the Stokes and Huddersfield who have gone down and done nothing, really.
Mm.
So it's not worked for everybody, and it's a little bit like FPL stats, right? Why is someone posting this FPL stat? Well, it's probably to slant their opinion, or, you know, let me give you the hot and the cold stats. No, I'll just give you the hot stats. The hot stats are that there are clubs like Norwich and Fulham yo-yoing, but the cold stats are that there are clubs who've gone down who needed these parachute payments and have been nowhere near coming back.
Yeah.
And I think it probably needs more data and more years to understand actually if it is still needed or not. I think Kieran Maguire's point is right, that, and he's the financial expert, right now it's probably something that's necessary.
Mm. In the current circumstances,
although
it
does feel unfair for those competing against it. These clubs who drop into the Championship essentially starting on a 40 million, in fact, it's not even a 40 million, you could argue 140 million head start over the competition, because the money they've made in the Premier League, if you're Norwich and you've not pissed it up the wall and then come down and get another 40 million, you've got such an advantage over everybody else. And that's what annoys everybody. And I get that.
Correct. Well, there we go. There's a rundown of parachute payments. I'm sure plenty of our listeners who are fans of clubs in the EFL who have experienced parachute payments, who haven't experienced parachute payments, all have an opinion. Do head over to Twitter, where you'll find the tweet publishing the pod at Planet FPL Pod and jump in with your comments there, or also in the YouTube video comments. We welcome them all. Make sure you're staying subscribed as well, wherever you're listening to the pod. And we'll be back tomorrow. What we got tomorrow, James?
Clash of Correspondents. Yay. Neil Grover, Gemma and Harrison Eno have already recorded it. I think you'll love it. Friday, we got a focus on Gaffer Championship. It's well over an hour with Jamie Roberts and Angus McPhail from the EFL Fantasy podcast. Angus's knowledge blew my mind.
Nice. Got to meet Angus the other day.
Honestly.
Really?
Phenomenal knowledge on the lower leagues. Like, I'd ask him shit about Coventry and he was off.
Wow.
I was like, wow. Incredible knowledge of the lower leagues. And Jamie's good there. He's there for the banter, right? Good lad as well. I think you'll enjoy that, introducing those guys to you on Friday. Really good pod. On Patreon, we released the pod on Wimbledon MK Dons, which I think we really enjoyed doing yesterday. We've got a look back on 90s playoff finals in the Championship today. Quiz on EFL stadiums tomorrow. We've got a bit of a SPL Scottish fantasy preview on Friday, which Suj is really looking forward to.
Nice. Just the Rangers and Celtic. Job done.
You don't think I'm going to spend 20 minutes talking about Ross County, do you?
We shall see. Stay safe, everybody. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.